Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Paul Gallant.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
The most interactive sports radio show in Houston.
Paul, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the devastation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Paul Gallant.
You are definitely living in the hindsight world today, Paul.
Hello and welcome aboard the Paul Gallant Show, live by Radio Row from a non-handicapped bathroom stall in beautiful Las Vegas, Nevada. This is the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. A lot of people yesterday were calling the show out for not being authentic. They were saying that I was telling a lie about being in a bathroom stall in Las Vegas. And we have upped our game. I called David Gao yesterday and I said, look, people don't believe that were by Radio Row. So we got some microphones so that we could really complete the effect. Now, if you're watching youtube.com/ESPN Houston or twitch.tv/ESPN975, you might notice that I'm in a big studio and you're probably thinking to yourself, Paul, there's no way this isn't a handicap stall. Nope, we just have amazing green screen technology thanks to our very hardworking digital team that never takes any shortcuts or days off. So look at us right now. You see this? This is actually a bathroom stall by Radio Row in Las Vegas. Right, Brian McDonald?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. We are, our team here talked to the people at Marvel, the same people that made Thanos look like he was on the planet Titan. He wasn't really there. We're in Vegas. We're not really in the studio.
Exactly. So don't believe the fake news. Don't believe what the flagship station would tell you about us, okay? Now, you know, while we're on the flagship station, I, on a serious note, despise this week of radio. I think Radio Row's dumb. I had a great time going to it three times. All three of those times, my Patriots were in a Super Bowl. That was cool, but I don't understand why someone would tune in to my show to hear somebody else who is probably going to be very disinterested in just me as a whole, and then on top of that, you, the listener, unless it comes to promoting whatever product there is. I have never understood why people enjoy Radio Row or why radio companies shell out huge money to Las Vegas hotels, Las Vegas, I guess, Radio Row setup, the NFL, etc. I've never understood.
You don't want to hear Tim Brown pitch some new pitching machine?
No, Brian, I don't. I don't want to hear anything, in fact, from these people. And look, if you listen to this show, we only like to bring guests in studio. I don't like having conversations with people over the phone, especially if they're only for like 5-6 minutes, unless we can get a really big name. But let's be honest, that's sometimes hard to do in this little game that we like to call radio. So I've never understood the idea of Radio Row. But I do understand right now, if you are working here or at the flagship station, you're probably trying to get all the Texans content that you possibly can right now. Everybody's getting high off of that supply again. Everyone's excited about them. Everyone's hoping for the best from them going forward. Now, the flagship is no different. While they are on Radio Row, they are obviously going to try to milk this thing as long as they possibly can until the cow is completely dry. Now, when I worked there, for those who don't know, I did. I was never told to talk
Texans by my boss, unlike the person who claims that happened, and but now actually works for them. Other than that one time the PD held a gun to my head, I have never been told to talk Texans. Brian McDonald, you used to be at the flagship as well. I don't know.
No, I worked on the afternoon show there that doesn't no longer exist, and we were never told to talk Texans specifically.
Never happened, but it was heavily implied, whether it was with a gun to the head or a brass knuckle.
Well, that was just like the Tuesday meeting. You go on, come in, you grab a Danish, a gun's to your head, you know, and we talk about sports.
Right. There'd be a couple people in there with sunglasses on and Uzis. Maybe they were from the Israeli consulate upstairs. Whatever the case, they're just hanging out there, and it's like, hey, like, you know what you're supposed to do there, okay? But I'm going to go behind the scenes. I'm going to, you know, give you a little look underneath the kimono of how prepping for a show worked.
Why did you start doing a shimmy with your jacket?
With my jean jacket? Well, this is how I would show
That's
people.
How you illustrate a peek behind the scenes?
Right. From this bathroom stall in Las
Vegas.
By
doing a burlesque show for the Twitch audience with your jacket?
Just swinging my thing around. What? Ladies?
You do you, Paul.
Ladies can do it upstairs, but I can't do it downstairs. Sounds...
Well, if you're wanting to do it, you should start an OnlyFans. You might as well get paid for it.
You keep on pushing me towards this OnlyFans. I mean, one day...
Are you against money?
Just like Ben Affleck in Good Will Hunting, someday I might just not show up and you'll know where I went. I went to OnlyFans. But here is a behind the kimono scenes of how prepping for a radio show worked at the old flagship. One, you'd go to Pro Football Talk. You just go to Pro Football Talk for everything. 90% of the content over at the flagship is literally from
Hell, they had Florio on like three times a week at one point.
Right, exactly. And look, I like Florio. I think Florio comes up with some really hot takes from time to time that I don't agree with, but I like Pro Football Talk as a website. Then you find an aggregated story. Either it is about the Texans or it's an aggregated story that you can spin back to the Texans. Localize this, right? So
I've heard that segment.
I never have, but I'm just saying we localize it. So here's an example. And this is something I saw yesterday on Pro Football Talk. This is during the really dry month when you're squeezing that cow. You're squeezing old Toro for all the milk, even though he's a bull and probably doesn't produce any, unless he's maybe had a little steroid injection or something like that, a little extra something, something. So here's a story. This is from Pro Football Talk. C.J. Stroud. Happy to have Bobby Slowick back as his play caller. That's the headline. Now, the story is from the weekend. It's from the Pro Bowl games, an NFL.com story, with a couple of quotes that are 100% nothing burgers. Here's one. About Bobby Slowick's return, C.J. Stroud said this. Yeah, I'm excited. It's another year with a good coach. We've got a lot of good chemistry. It's a real good thing. And then you turn that into something else. This is where things would get a little bit overcomplicated over at the flagship. And I don't know how they do things these days. I truly don't. Maybe it's better. But after that, you see that story, you would have to create something called a topic tree.
Paul, can I tell you I have PTSD from the meetings about topic trees?
We both had to deal with this. Imagine being told by somebody how to run a radio show has nothing to do with actually having a conversation with the person that is in the same room as you. It's about creating a topic tree. What does that mean? I don't know. But just imagine that talking about C.J. Stroud saying literally just this, it's another year with a good coach.
Well, you had to have the point, and then you had to make a branch off of it. Then you go back to the point
exactly.
To support the original point. Then you branch off again, and it was this was all drawn on a white
chalkboard. We had an effing whiteboard.
Oh, my God.
We had an effing whiteboard. They had a whiteboard telling us how to talk about this stuff. Now, again, it might be different.
It wasn't for us. I experienced the exact same thing. We have shared trauma.
I have no sour feelings towards anybody there. I want that
person we're talking about.
Not even that person who fired me. Not even that person.
I do.
This is me,
Brian McDonald, saying I do.
Okay, so we differ on that front. Oh, look, you got to move on in life at some point, but sometimes it's hard to. But those meetings were traumatic because you just sit there and then something as simple as C.J. Stroud says Bobby Slowick is a good coach would turn into what topic trees are you going to do? One of them would be, how much longer is Bobby Slowick going to work with C.J. Stroud? Another one of those topics would be, wait a second, are the Texans perhaps holding C.J. Stroud back by not promoting Gerard Johnson to the offensive coordinator over Bobby Slowick? And another angle of that would be, wait a second, how much say should D'Amico Ryans have over the offense? He's the one running the whole thing. Should Bobby Slowick have complete autonomy from D'Amico Ryans, this is the kind of stuff that we had to do. And I swear to God, there was a time where I actually bought hook, line, and sinker to this way of doing things.
Yeah,
I swear.
I did temporarily.
It's shameful for me to admit, but I used to be this. And I have just had time to reflect and think about whether or not this is entertaining for the average person. And I think, Brian, for the average person, when you're going that far into the weeds over something that is as small as that and trying to overanalyze it like that, that is where you lose the casual person who just wants to talk about sports and have a good time.
Yeah, I think you could just, if you really want to talk about all those things that branched off the original thought, just lose the original thought, because the quote like you that you read is, there's nothing there. If you want to make the point that either C.J. Stroud is better or worse because Slovic is back, or Gerard Johnson, whatever, just make that point and go from there.
Exactly. But you see, this is the thing. This is the thing. You know,
frustrating.
Some people aren't creative, and on top of that, you realize that sometimes being creative doesn't really have any perks in the end game. Some people just want this, like, really, absolutely bare bones, simple, like, a bit of Texans content. They just want you to talk about, like, oh, where does Bobby Slowick rank among offensive coordinators across the NFL? Like, it gets into that. And for me, I've broken from that. Now, does that make me special or different? No, it doesn't. I'm just saying I've gone on a different route. And when I see the people that are actually on Radio Row, because we're, of course, doing this from a non-handicapped bathroom stall, a single one, not a handicap. We're not barbarians. At Radio Row, I'm just thinking about what they're doing. Is it weird that I'm thinking about what they're doing? Yeah, maybe it's a little bit of jealousy. I mean, I would love to be in Las Vegas, but I don't trust myself. I do not trust myself on Radio Row again. Last time I was on Radio Row, I showed up for a show legitimately 2 minutes before it went on the air because I had, honestly, one of the worst benders of my life. One that led me to a point where I thought about never drinking again.
Which one was this?
This is Atlanta. I have no idea.
Okay.
How.
Okay, yeah, I wasn't at that one. The only one I got to go to was the one here in town in Houston for Patriots Falcons.
I have no idea, B-Mac. I have no idea how I made it to that show. I sat down, and you know what the best part was? Like, no, again.
Was it you and Beard or you and Rocket?
No. This was when they brought me on the morning show to save me, which was, thanks for that. That was really fair to have
conversation off the air.
Save a morning show. No, F it. I don't care. But I showed up at a moment in time where I wasn't really happy doing this show anymore. I showed up like 3 minutes before the start of the show. And look, I got beautiful hair. Sometimes you have to shower to make the hair look like this. Like right now, it looks immaculate. It doesn't always look that way when I wake up and roll out of bed. I have no idea how I didn't look or smell intoxicated. I have no idea, but hey, we made it through the show. And now everyone has seen behind the kimono. One, how
you
things
do the
work
shimmy again?
On the work, how things work on the air at the flagship station, and how things sometimes worked behind the scenes at the flagship station. It's the Paul Gallant Show. I'm sure someone will double tap next to our bathroom stall live by Radio Row in Las Vegas, and we might have a guest. They might be hawking something, whatever, okay? We're doing it a little bit different. But coming up next, even as one of the most radical, borderline violent fundamentalist supporters of Tom Brady, I have to admit this about Patrick Mahomes. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5.com. One of these guys cheats at fishing.
We got weights and fish.
There we go. Yeah.
Welcome back to the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here is your ambiguously gay host, Paul Gallant.
You can text into the most interactive sports talk show in Houston, live by Radio Row from a non-handicapped stall in Las Vegas at 713-780-3776. A texter, convince you blocked my number because you haven't replied to any of my texts in a while. However, I do believe you are in Vegas. Thank you. You just heard the flush there. We are in Vegas. More people are asking about that rough night I had. It was a while ago. I've gotten better with it. I do have occasionally nights where I realize I need to chill out. I'm having way too much fun. But listen, life, you only live life for a certain amount of time, and I don't have any responsibilities at this moment except for to my cat. But the worst thing that happened that night was not only did I leave a horrible voicemail that I hope never resurfaces, because I thought I thought I was like calling my Uber, which couldn't find me. But nope, I accidentally called someone I know. And
like an ex?
Sure. And I left like this is the most embarrassing voicemail ever because I was like, yeah, I was like, where are you? What's going on? But I also like randomly posted to my Instagram story something that made absolutely no sense that I was trying to send to somebody. And again, like just horrible. And it was up there for a couple of hours. So people definitely saw it. Your boy's been working on it. We're never perfect, are we? But good God, that was a rough. That was a rough week. At least the Patriots cemented their dynasty status for the second era of Tom Brady. Speaking of Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs are very fast approaching, at least from a trajectory standpoint, what Tom Brady did over the course of his career. I wish that I could dislike Patrick Mahomes, and I probably will root against Mahomes in the Super Bowl mainly because I do not want him getting anywhere close to Tom Brady. But I got a couple of things here that sort of make me wonder just how radical a fundamentalist I am when it comes to Tom Brady. I am willing to admit Mahomes is on the path, and there is a part of me that appreciates a team that continues to win over and over again. This didn't make me popular back during my flagship days, but I loved watching the Golden State Warriors play. Loved it. It was beautiful basketball, especially juxtapositioned with what I was seeing from the Rockets, who sure played a brand of basketball that worked and actually challenged Golden State. But to me, it just wasn't a good watch. And I've just never been a fan of James Harden's theatrics and manipulation of the game and referees through acting and flopping. And I never liked that. So I liked watching Golden State. I like what Alabama's done under Nick Saban. I suppose that's controversial as well. But to continue to win at that level over and over and over again, it's insane. I wonder if there's going to be another run like that in the future. Maybe it's going to be Georgia. I don't know. I mean, really, if you think about like the best runs in recent college football history, they were Urban Meyer related, or it was Pete Carroll at USC, and usually scandals followed those people. Jim Harbaugh, you can make the case. He finally wins a national championship. So that Nick Saban has continued to win is incredible. So I like rooting for guys to keep on doing what they've been doing if they've been successful. You know, sometimes you want to be a hater and hate on it, but I don't know. I appreciate that. So I think I want to root against Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl. I'm just having a hard time doing it. And one of the reasons is the guy's so damn likable. He truly is. There were a couple of moments at the NFL media night, or opening night as they call it now, that I heard from Mahomes and I'm like, yeah, this is a guy that I can understand why an entire locker room falls behind 100%. Not just because of how good of a player he is. Here is Mahomes when asked about the possibility of winning 7 Super Bowl rings, just like my Lord and Savior Tom Brady has.
I mean, I'm not even close to halfway, so I haven't put a lot of thought into it. I mean, your goal is to be the best player that you can be. I know I'm blessed to be around a lot of great players around me. And so right now, it's doing whatever I can to beat a great 49ers team and trying to get that 3rd ring. And then if you ask me that question in like 15 years, and I'll see if I can get close to 7, but 7 seems like a long ways away still.
Cliches along the way, but I mean, he's right. And the guy's still humble, despite having zero reason to be humble. He's clearly the best quarterback in the NFL. It's not close. It's not. I think there's a big gap between he and Joe Burrow. I think there's a big gap between he and C.J. Stroud. I think there's a big gap between he and all the top quarterbacks. Josh Allen, if you want to still put Lamar Jackson up towards the top. Who the hell are you even offering in the NFC as a viable challenger for Mahomes? There's no one. It's him. And then there's a long, long gap. And then it's the rest. I also like that despite all of the crap that the Chiefs and the Bengals got into last year about who's disrespecting who, yada, yada, yada. Mahomes, more honesty. Transparency is so key. Athletes in 2024 saying that he never has felt like he's the underdog.
I never feel like the underdog. I always feel like we have a chance to win the football game, and that's how we approach every single game. And or we were underdogs in the last Super Bowl. So all you can do is just have that same mindset of just going out there, playing your best football, and hoping that you end up with a win.
Cliches at the end, but if you're someone like Tom Brady or Patrick Mahomes, who have supposedly had like the biggest chips on their shoulder their whole career, Michael Jordan as well, at a certain point, you have to realize, yeah, you are expected to do this. And you are almost competing against your own expectations for yourself, more so than you are competing against anybody else. When you're in a class as separate from the rest as this guy. And it is funny because the Chiefs are technically underdogs right now, which makes no sense. Honestly, if there's anyone I want to hear from in Las Vegas on Radio Row, it's the odds makers. Like, what are we doing here making Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs, 2-point underdogs in the Super Bowl against Brock Purdy, who has been going out of his way to turn the football over the last couple of games, who are coached by Kyle Shanahan, who is the main reason, due to his offensive aggressiveness in the Super Bowl with the 28-3 lead in the Falcons against the Patriots, this is the guy who is most tied to that 28-3 collapse outside of Dan Quinn. And you're expecting those two to beat a team quarterbacked by Patrick Mahomes that also has a very good defense. I don't, for the life of me, get it. They should not be underdogs, and yet they are underdogs. And what's crazy, too, like, sticking with this, you would think Vegas would learn, right? The house always wins. Mahomes, if the line stays as it is right now, will have been an underdog in 4 of his last 5 playoff games. They were underdogs against the Philadelphia Eagles in the Super Bowl. They were favorites against the Dolphins, but they were dogs against the Bills. They were dogs against the Ravens. They're dogs right now, again, against the San Francisco 49ers. What are we doing? What are we doing? I think any casual observer of football would say right now, wait, no, he's the best quarterback. Also, the team around him is really good, but forget about that. Also, the head coach that he has is really good, but let's forget about that. What? What's going on? Make this even, at the very least, right? Nope. Chiefs are 2-point dogs. And look, Mahomes, I want to root against him. Keep on saying that. But the guy's very likable. He really is. He has a very unique voice, right? I think it sounds a little bit like Kermit the Frog. Maybe if Kermit the Frog started smoking Marlboros. I don't know. Ed Orgeron really down the deep end on that side of things. But Patrick Mahomes was asked by somebody at opening night last night to do a Kermit the Frog impression.
What is your best Kermit the Frog impression?
I'm talking right now. That's it.
Love it. Guy's willing to make fun of himself. A little bit further in this media night availability, somebody asked him about a unflattering picture that showed of him in the locker room, which sucks. I feel bad. I feel bad for anybody. You're taking your shirt off in the locker room. People are like, oh, he's not ripped. He's not yoked. Rob Johnson was ripped and yoked. Former quarterback. Ever heard of him? Jaguars did. They knew him. And the Buffalo Bills, they really knew him. They traded for him. And then they put him in instead of Doug Flutie in the game where the Music City Miracle happened. Some would argue that it's the curse of Doug Flutie, that the Bills are still fighting their way through. And honestly, good, because Doug Flutie's a New England legend. Also takes eugenics. Shout out to him. Patrick Mahomes was asked about having a lack of a six-pack in that unflattering photo.
I have a six-pack. It's just under the dad bod. So it's just, if you feel, I mean, there might be some skin there, but then underneath that, the six-pack's there. You just got to get real close, and you got to squint a little bit, and I think you'll see it.
That's very relatable. That is very relatable. I mean, I'm there. You know, it's not quite there, but, you know, you take a look underneath some of it. It's there. It's there. I mean, that's rare in the radio game. But Mahomes is relatable. And despite having a very forward-facing, to put it politely, significant other, and a younger brother who is the absolute worst, I feel like it's still pretty damn clear that the guy is a good dude. I like him. I wish it was easy to root against him. It was easy to root against Peyton Manning. Easy. NFL royalty. Was constantly playing against my favorite teams. Threw his teammates under the bus publicly. Mahomes doesn't do that. Mahomes throws the referees and rules under the bus. He has not thrown Kadarius Toney or any of his crap wide receivers under the bus all season long. Oh my God, he is so, so warranted if he were to do that at any point in time. He's really likable. And I want to root against him in the Super Bowl, mainly because I'm a Tom Brady supporter, but I'm having a hard time doing it. 713-780-3776 to call, to text. You can join on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975, or on YouTube at ESPN Houston. A couple of questions. Of course, the Twitch asks that. Is Paul functioning alky? No. No, I just drink a lot on the weekends. Another comment. Pinche asks, good thing there's no such thing as a surprise drug test at Gal Media, right, Paulie? Well, as far as I understand, radio is like the one industry where you don't get tested. And I don't know if that harkens back to the days where people were, you know, lighting up a J or doing a line.
I've done radio for 13 years, never been tested once.
Never been tested
either. I've been tested like as a prerequisite for every other job I've had.
Same.
But not in radio.
Actually, I never got tested while working at Louis Papa's Greek Restaurant, which I worked with a bunch of people on work release. And I'm sure because I accidentally drove one to buy some. I didn't know. Like, I was accessory.
It's amazing you're alive.
They were really nice people. I just drove them to, like, a house. And I thought the guy was like, oh, I got to pick up something. And me being a naive idiot from, like, a private school.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, it's fine. It's fine. No big deal. And he comes back into the car. I'm like, oh, he definitely got drugs, huh? He got drugs. But nope. Never got drug tested at Louis Papa's Greek Restaurant. Shout out to them. Never got tested at Hannaford's Grocery Store or Sweet Bay Grocery Store. And never got tested at the flagship. Never got tested at 710 in Seattle, which was owned by the Church of Latter-day Saints. You would think they would really frown on that. Like, they would test you for caffeine, maybe. But nope. No, never been drug tested ever.
So you've never failed a drug test either.
I've never failed a drug test because I've never taken
just,
a drug
just like
test.
Barry Bonds.
Nope, never done it. Never done it. Hell yeah. Paul Galacho, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. Coming up next, is Deshaun Watson a good guy? Well, someone seems to think so. And an NFL executive claps back at some of the more annoying people in the world of sports. First, though, guys, let me tell you about my friends at mybookie.ag. You enter promo code BET975. You're going to get an awesome deposit bonus. If you recommend a friend as well, you're already signed up. Guess what? More of a deposit bonus to play with all sorts of money the week of the big game. And, I mean, did you just hear me lay it out in the last segment? It is effing insane that Kansas City is a 2-point dog still on mybookie.ag. Okay, forget the Mahomes stuff. The Chiefs' secondary is really good. Legarius Sneed, McDuffie, they got some good players in that secondary. They got Chris Jones up the middle. Do you really think Brock Purdy's going to have a clean sheet against that team? And you saw Kansas City against a much better Baltimore Ravens defense do whatever it wanted the first two drives of the game. On top of that, San Francisco can't really stop the run. Isaiah Pacheco, hello. I mean, myboogie.ag, promo code BET975. I'm sorry. Hammer, Kansas City. I don't see how they are still underdogs. It makes no sense to me. This is free money. And you can get it at mybookie.ag. Promo code BET975. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with mybookie.ag.
Thank you for listening to ESPN 97.5. It means the world.
A whole new world. A dazzling place I never knew.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Dad,
tackling the biggest issues in the NFL.
This just in.
Here's the 10-minute drill with Paul Gallant.
Football time.
Couple of texts. First off, in the last segment, we talked about how radio doesn't really have drug tests. Some comments. And Fuentes Respector. Drugs don't get you fired. Drug tests do. Interesting to note. Virginia Buttonweed says that there's alcohol tests on Monday mornings after the Super Bowl at certain companies.
Where?
I want to know, Brian.
Yeah, quit.
That needs to be public information.
And if you're at that job, quit.
Yeah. Lance Wagner is calling me out on our YouTube channel saying I'm a front runner extraordinaire. Yeah. I follow the strong. That is a motif.
Welcome
of the
to
show.
The Paul Gallant Show.
Right.
Where have you been?
Listen. Loyalty is cute. doesn't get you anywhere when you're rooting for something owned by some bozo billionaire. You may as well root for the good product as opposed to the bad one. What, you're going to root for a team entirely because of your parents having sex there and birthing you there? Or because they are rooting for a team where they were born? I mean, think about it through that prism, and it makes it a lot easier to jump on a bandwagon. I'm homeless at this moment in time. Like, I consider Houston my home. I've been here for 10 of the last 12 years. But at the same time, like, I've lived in a million different places, so I like to follow the good brands, you know? Just like putting on a Supreme shirt, which, of course, I would pull off, or whatever, the top-shelf Pendleton whiskey or something like that. Like, that's what I'm all about.
Or the best betting sites, like MyBookie.
MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975. You're right, Brian McDonald, behind the glass, and for Sean Mace. Okay, he says, Lance continues, that I'm putting resumes in the greater Kansas City area. Love those teams. Did you know I did conservative talk radio in Kansas City once for a week?
You did?
I did. It was fun. It was fun while I was jobless.
For a week?
Did it for a week.
So this is between the flagship and Seattle?
This is between Seattle and here. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Wasn't that long ago?
Wow.
Yeah. Check it. You can probably find the podcast if you're bored. KCMO.
I can't wait to hear about your takes on the border.
Honestly, I feel like they're nuanced and very fair. But that's for the Gallant Says podcast, if you ever want to listen to that. Someone is calling me out on the text line, also, most interactive sports talk show in Houston. We'll get to some NFL in a moment. Saying, I call BS on Peyton throwing any player under the bus.
His kicker.
He did it, like, basically by name.
Vaynerjack, he said that our drunk kicker got liquored up and ran his mouth.
Idiot kicker. He was asked about his defense once. This was after... on the way up to the 2005 season when the 2006 playoffs. This isn't basketball. I can't play both ways. All we can do as an offense is try and score points. He threw his offensive line under the bus as well, talking about the Colts being unable to run the football. Over the course of the 2009 to 2010 season, there are multiple examples if you want to look it up. Manning has publicly thrown people under the bus.
Oh, yeah.
Before.
No, this is hardly a secret with Manning.
I mean, it's not. LeBron James has done the same thing. I would keep everything in house.
Peyton's more upfront about it. He'll just say whatever he's thinking.
Look,
LeBron tries
that.
To walk the line a little bit.
Exactly. Some people respect that. Hey, he's being upfront and he's being honest. But I would just say, when you're talking about teammates, you could talk about all of these things privately. There's no need to turn it into a massive media storm by bringing it up publicly. And I respect that the way Mahomes and Brady do it. I'm not saying the way that Manning does it is bad, but I would not do that. Some people are going to appreciate the honesty. And you know what? Sometimes the honesty gets the changes that you want. Anyway, Ken Dorsey, speaking of honesty, do you think he's being honest when he said this about Deshaun Watson?
He's one of the premier quarterbacks in this league, and from everything I've heard about him, a really quality human being. So I'm just excited about that opportunity.
Did he say what I think he just said?
He said quality, Paul. Define quality.
Quality quarterback?
He said person.
Quality person?
He said person.
I think
there's 26 women who would disagree.
Brian, I have bad hearing.
You want to hear it again?
I don't believe that I heard him say quality person.
He's one of the premier quarterbacks in this league, and from everything I've heard about him, a really quality human being, so I'm just excited about that opportunity.
Well, hey.
My bad. He said quality human being, not person. I think that makes it worse, actually.
You know what? Well, at least he's giving everybody a blank slate, you know?
Well, if Sean Watson's a quality human being, you and I are angels.
That is true. There's another line from Ken Dorsey that I saw that made me think of certain situations. He wants to be pushed and driven. Huh. On the massage table? On the football field? Who knows? I don't know what he's talking about there. Brad Holmes is the general manager of the Detroit Lions. And he had an amazing... almost 2-minute monologue where he criticized something that I despise. It's the people that think that they know what a draft pick will be or won't be immediately after the draft because they've read a bunch of mock drafts or because they're just way too into the draft industrial complex. Brad Holmes took out a flamethrower and took the torch to a lot of people like this.
I'm big on accountability, you know, and I think y'all would expect me to be accountable when I'm up here. When things don't go right, you would expect me to be accountable. And I am. I feel I'm a very accountable person. I think when you heard so much negativity about our draft, and then when I said, look, wait till they start playing football, it'll be appreciative. When they started playing football and people started giving them credit, the negativity kind of just, everybody forgot about it.
Pause for a moment. This is something I love to get called out, because very often, pundits especially, forget the people that actually do this for a living, and I respect, it's a hard effing job. That's why I'm never really that hard on general managers anymore. When you are evaluating something, you shouldn't just be able to let it die in the wind like a fart. If you think that a draft pick sucked, you got to bring that up later. I've gotten to the point where I know what I don't know in this game. And not everybody plays that. I will always be upfront and honest on that front when I'm not being sarcastic and a little jackass on the air. When it comes to stuff like this, if you have a hard opinion on something and all of a sudden the reality is the exact opposite of your opinion, you do have to acknowledge it. And it's one of the reasons why making a prediction about a draft pick isn't exactly the best idea in the world. I get it. People are paid for them all the time. Whatever. Here's more Brad Holmes. This is a fantastic quote, continuing to rail against those who were negative about the Lions when they were in the draft, and now after the fact, crickets.
Nobody, you know, I give probably two people credit in this room that said, you know what, I was wrong. And I appreciate that, and I respected that. But just the other about, you know, you knew they were wrong, and then they, oh, man, these rookies are playing so well. Or you hear the, man, many people gave them backlash. Or, oh, man, there were some people that, no, it wasn't many. It was you. You like, I'm reading this, like, no, you gave them backlash. And so it's just having accountability. That's all it is. But again, like I said, I'm not here to. I told you so. Again, I told you so was when we selected the players. You just got to get through the post draft wave.
I told you so was when I selected the players. What in the middle finger?
It sounds like he keeps receipts. He's reading articles and having the thought process like, no, you say that some people said, but you were actually the doubter in this case. He's keeping receipts.
And there's so much, there's a thing as keeping too many receipts, 100%.
Sure. LeBron keeps too many receipts.
I think Bill O'Brien kept too many receipts.
Oh, 100% he kept too many receipts.
There's a certain point where you just got to realize you can't control what the opinion about you is. You just kind of have to just float. And I really like this quote from Brad Holmes. And this is not me disrespecting the draft industrial complex in the NFL or anything like that. It's not. It's really hard. But I think that a lot of people who are removed from the draft industrial complex have way too strong opinions about what a team should do and who a team should select in the draft. And they're almost always going to be wrong. It's one of the reasons why we do not do the mock draft stuff on this show. Not 10 to noon. We don't do that. It doesn't make any sense. And especially now that the Texans have a quarterback, I have no interest in those conversations because for the most part, everyone's wrong. So there you go. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. That is the 10-minute drill. Up next, you're going to hear a cool piece of audio from back in the day with the Houston Astros as we continue our countdown to Astros pitchers and catchers reporting. And, oh my God, if this guy's getting paid, why haven't the Astros paid Kyle Tucker? Stick around. First, though, let me tell you about my friends at Pendleton Whiskey. Smooth, refreshing, barrel-aged in American oak, cut with glacier-fed spring water from Oregon's Mount Hood. the finest northern grains. You blend it all together, and it gives you an uncommonly smooth, rich taste and complex flavor. For those who know, the Pendleton Roundup is where this thing began, one of the oldest rodeos in North America. We're talking 100 years or so. And Pendleton whiskey was born there, steeped in true Western tradition, with the legacy of the American cowboy forged into every single bottle. This stuff was created to celebrate the bold spirit of independence and the hard work ethic of the American cowboy and cowgirl. We can all be cowboys. Maybe we're living in the rat race of the 21st century. But you know what? You want to take a break? What I do, two fingers of Pendleton whiskey, one wrong, boom. Smooth, refreshing. It's Pendleton whiskey. It's true Western tradition.
You found ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I can feel it.
I can feel it down in my plums. They're getting a nice bluish hue.
It's always Astros time in Houston. Are you ready to play?
A lot of people were wondering what it was going to be like if the Astros didn't win the division. I guess we'll never know.
We're counting you down to the Astros pitchers and catchers reporting to spring training in West Palm Beach.
Drive deep to right center field. Back goes Mondi looking up, and it's going home run! He establishes a new record for the Astros. It went just up there over the ivy-covered center field wall, and he's hit a home run in five successive ball games to put the Astros out in front. And Gene, I believe they're going to give him the silent treatment down there in the dugout. Is that what they're doing? Yep. They're giving him the silent treatment, my friends. How you like those apples?
I got to figure out who was on the call for that, but 6 days away from Astros pitchers and catchers reporting to spring training. That is Cliff Johnson as we count down some of the best Astros players by number. Brian McTaggart's article that has basically just every single number there puts Cliff Johnson as number six. He played there from 72 to 77. Broke into the majors with the Astros, 256 with 52 homers and 376 games. He would later win championships with the Yankees in 77 and 78. He also had a stretch where he hit, as you heard right there, five home runs in five games. It's pretty impressive. Astros franchise record at the time.
Yeah, you could have quizzed me as to who had that record. I would have had no idea. That's a good pull from Brian McTaggart.
Speaking of no idea, I have no idea who the hell Bobby Witt is.
Now, look, I know sometimes you lean into the baseball Paul, but legit no idea who Bobby Witt was?
He sounds fun.
Okay.
He sounds exactly like the kind of player who would play in some
he
team
does.
In a flyover state like Missouri. And guess what? There he is. Bobby Witt, $288 million from the Royals. Honestly, Brian.
It could be more depending if they pick up that team option.
I'm going to be dead serious. I do not know his position. This is just a guess. Second base?
Shortstop.
Damn it. I thought I had it.
Let me double. It's one of the two.
This is baseball. This is baseball in a nutshell. They can't even market the stars who are playing.
It is shortstop.
Okay.
It is shortstop.
$288 million. And Jim Crane, this is really what I got to say. Jim Crane, put your jock jacket on. Put the Letterman jacket back on from your D3 pitching days. You're going to let the Royals spend $288 million on Bobby Witt, Bobby White. He's going to get $288 million, but where are the contracts for Jose Altuve? Where are the contracts for Alex Bregman? Where are the contracts for... Well, I can't really say it with Kyle Tucker after the postseason. I can't say it with Kyle Tucker. I just can't. Now, maybe after next season, great, awesome, wonderful, splendid. He has to have a good year. But
this is the type of contract Kyle Tucker's going to be looking at, though.
Yeah.
Kyle Tucker's older, so not that he's old, but he would get done with that 10-year deal, obviously, by an age that's older than Bobby Witt, who's only 23 right now.
Long-term deal for Tucker makes a lot more sense than it does for Bregman.
Sense than a long-term deal for Fromber, in my opinion.
Oh, definitely for Fromber, right?
Like, the only one that makes more sense
than... You should shop Fromber.
Yeah, 100%. The only one that makes more sense to me than Tucker, just... obviously be Altuve. I mean, there's reasons beyond baseball than with Altuve.
That's the main reason for an Altuve extension is beyond baseball.
You want him to get 3,000 hits here.
You want him to be here for life. If he plays anywhere else, that's just going to look bad. You want him to be, like Craig Biggio. You don't want him anywhere else. So, we'll see on that front, but Bobby Witt got $288 million. Also, interesting thoughts from Joe Espada, manager of the Houston Astros, on the Trey Cabbage, who may or may not have been DFA'd by the Angels, but the Astros got him in a blockbuster move to match what the Houston Texans
did. I had no idea who Trey Cabbage was before the news came out.
Some of us know baseball, and some of them...
Hey, I knew who Bobby Witt was.
Apparently, Trey Cabbage single-handedly beat the Astros in a game this year.
Sure.
Wait.
I don't remember it.
He just played well in the game against the Astros, and they didn't win that game because classic Los Angeles Angels. But it wasn't, hey, Shohei Ohtani and Mike Trout doing something special as the Angels lose 8-2.
Yeah, because the ESPN headline when they lose 10-1 is Shohei Ohtani has two home runs or hurt, or 10-2, two home runs.
Mike Trout hurt. Shohei Ohtani, six home runs in 7-6 loss to the Las Vegas Athletics. Here's what Joe Espada had to say about the Trey Cabbage. I think he's going to spring training to showcase what we all know he's capable of doing. We like what we see. We like what we heard from people in the industry and what he's capable of doing. I think if he goes and shows he can hit for power and cut down on swing and miss, well, there's a lot of that with him. I think he's got a good shot at making the club. I think almost half his outs were swing and miss.
I love how easy Joe Espada makes that sound. Well, you know, if he could cut down on swing and miss. Obviously. There's a lot of players who haven't made it who would make it if they could cut down on their swing and the miss. It's easier said than done.
There's a lot of radio hosts that could make it if they do what they're capable of doing. Like, for example, say I actually got a prescription for attention deficit disorder, which I do not have officially diagnosed, but I ain't no weenie. You know, I'm playing the game naturally. If I did not perhaps have, you know, the limitations of my brain holding me back, would I be Colin Cowherd right now? Yeah, obviously. I'm better looking than him. Put me on TV. Put me on TV. I got a little dash of silver and this beautiful dark black and brown hair. Got sweet facial hair, massive eyebrows to keep the people watching. If only I had the ability to focus on one topic at a time and lay out concise takes, like, I would be getting paid more than Nick Wright. 100%. Look at what Nick's doing with his hair. Jeez.
Yeah, it's not great.
No, you're not.
He needs to shave it again.
Listen, I don't want to comment too much. And you know what? Everyone's got to look. But
Nick's is not long hair.
It's too Hans Gruber.
It's not, yeah. It's not long
hair. He looks too much like the bad guy in
Every time I see him, I just picture somebody falling from Nakatomi Tower.
Mm-hmm. Junior Broncos comments, Paul on legal meth would be wild. Yes, you're right. That's what the ADD medication technically is. All the Germans in World War II that were in the midst of the Blitzkrieg, same thing. They were taking ADD medicine that is being fed to children.
Had they not taken ADD medication, would they not have tried to invade Russia during the winter?
I don't know. I mean, they might have had a shortage like we do now. There's a massive shortage of ADD medication. It's so funny talking to some of the people who have it in my life, and I'm like, wait a second, you have ADD? You're prescribed for this? Huh? Oh, all right. Some of us are all natural. These eyebrows, not natural. I plucked the unibrow in the middle. These boobs, natural. Man-made at the gym. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5, 92.5, 713-780-3776 to call. To text. Up next. Something that we didn't discuss CJ Stroud doing yesterday. Over the weekend, he may have laid the groundwork for the acquisition of a couple of key Houston Texans players. We'll discuss that next. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5.com. Get in the race.
There are thrills and terrible dangers ahead.